The founders of America said that our rights come from the Creator, and that which God has endowed us with is non-negotiable. And of course, the first right that they mention is the right to life. And yet, there's been a wholesale slaughter of the unborn in America and in the Western world for the last several decades. We're going to talk right now with Rebecca Ose, who's the Director of Research for CFAM, the Center for Family and Human Rights. Their mission is to, quote, defend life and family at international institutions and to publicize the debate. And their vision is, quote, the preservation of international law by discrediting socially radical policies at the United Nations and other international institutions. Now, the reason I mention all this is because some people at the United Nations are basically saying that abortion is healthcare rights for women. And is that true or is that not true? Rebecca Ose joins us now from the CFAM organization. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. Rebecca, thank you so much for being on with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Okay, so go ahead and wax eloquent on the myth that abortion is basically health care for women.
Well, you said earlier the allegation is that it's health care rights for women, and that fails on two levels. It's neither health care nor rights. And we can talk about both of those. Certainly the concept of abortion as a part of health care is a message that abortion advocates have been pushing for a long time. And, of course, you know, the act of abortion is the willful taking of an innocent human life, right? It does not cure any illness that a woman might be suffering from. Pregnancy is not a disease. It is a natural state. And, of course, when a woman is pregnant, there are two patients involved, and to willfully take the life of one of them is the opposite of health care. You know, I mean, the original Hippocratic oath that doctors would profess included specifically lines, you know, denouncing abortion and promising not to engage in it. So we've seen sort of the whole concept of health care being turned inside out. And, you know, unfortunately, the leading health agency, the World Health Organization at the UN, has really been pushing this very aggressively. But also, you know, on the human rights side, there are people who claim that abortion is a human right. And this is something that, you know, the UN's member states, you know, have the governments of the world have never agreed is the case. But a lot of UN agencies continue to really push that, you know, and to pressure countries, especially developing countries that have pro-life laws, to liberalize their laws and allow abortion in ever more increasing circumstances and remove barriers to accessing it.
Where does religion fit into that? Because, I mean, I imagine some of those countries you're talking about, maybe they'd be Catholic countries, and I don't know where Islam stands on that, but maybe they wouldn't be, you know, wholesale in favor of all the pro-abortion laws, you know, that the liberals would want.
Well, you're absolutely right. And there was a conference back in 1994, the International Conference on Population and Development, that was held in Cairo, Egypt. And this was where the attempt to try and jam a right to abortion through the UN really came up strongly. It was really being led by the United States, in fact, under the Clinton administration. And there was an international and multi-faith coalition that really rallied to push back on that and defeat that attempt to create a right to abortion. And that was, it was an alliance of, as you say, Catholic countries, many Latin American countries, as well as a lot of Muslim majority countries as well. Pope John Paul II was one of those who really sort of sounded the alarm, and a lot of both nations, their governments, as well as civil society organizations responded to that very strongly. And, you know, that sort of multinational, multi-faith, coalition still remains. In fact, you're absolutely right. A lot of the, you know, those who are pushing back the hardest on language and resolutions that would promote abortion or redefinition of gender, things like that, a lot of our allies in this are indeed Muslim countries.
Huh, that's interesting. As far as abortion itself, first of all, how common is abortion in other countries? I mean, it's my understanding abortion is probably the leading killer everywhere on planet Earth as far as human lives being taken willfully.
You know, it's absolutely true in a lot of Western countries. It's harder to get the data in countries where abortion is illegal, certainly. But, I mean, certainly it is a leading killer around the world. And, you know, as far as how common it is, you know, again, there's different reports. It's obviously harder to measure when it's illegal. But, you know, the thing that we are told so often is that if you make it illegal, You're never going to reduce it or get rid of it. You're just going to make it more and more unsafe. And, you know, of course, that's obviously not true. I mean, we see stories all the time about people who have been reached with help by pregnancy resource centers and you know, and others in the United States. And we know this is also true around the world, that if you can address the things that are leading women to think that they have no choice, that they have no good options, and if you provide them with the support that they need, that a lot of them do want to choose life. They just feel very hopeless because of their, you know, their difficult circumstances. And in fact, you know, the document that was agreed in Egypt in 1994 includes, you know, things like women should be provided with alternatives to abortion, that abortion should never be promoted as a method of family planning, you know, that women should be treated if they suffer harms from, you know, from abortion techniques that leave them wounded. You know, so really abortion is framed in a pretty negative light in that document. And of course, that document also importantly says that it is for national governments to determine its status in the law.
Where does the Biden administration stand on this? As though I didn't know.
Well, as you suggest, you know, they of course have taken a very strong pro-abortion line, both here in the United States, obviously in our domestic policy, but also overseas. You know, we have some safeguards. You know, there is a statute in our law that's called the Helms Amendment to the International Assistance Act. And basically what that says, and this was adopted, in fact, the same year as Roe versus Wade in 1973. And the Helms Amendment says that, you know, U.S. funding should not be going to the promotion or provision of abortion. Basically, you know, that we do not fund abortion directly in other countries, and we don't provide the supplies for doing that. And that has remained in effect, you know, ever since. What, of course, that doesn't do is stop money from going to groups that do promote abortion, right? As long as they're not using the money directly for that. And as you know, money is fungible, you know? So what we've seen under Republican presidents ever since Ronald Reagan is what's called the Mexico City policy. And basically what that says is if you are a foreign-based organization that does abortion or promotes abortion, then you are not eligible for, you know, U.S. funding, even if you wouldn't be using that funding directly for that. So basically, instead of saying we're not going to fund you doing this one bad thing, we're saying if you're someone who does this bad thing, we will not fund you. But the problem is that that's only at the level of an executive order. And so every time a Democratic president comes into office, he immediately rescinds that policy, as we saw Biden do, you know, as soon as he took office. And so, you know, that one's a little bit of a political football. But of course, the U.S. promotes abortion abroad in other ways as well, including in negotiations in the U.N. General Assembly, where the U.S., you know, takes strong positions in favor of language on, you know, things like sexual and reproductive rights and things like that. And of course, rallies other countries to do the same and promotes it diplomatically as well.
You know, that seems to me like a big bully type position. You know, it's like almost like the United States is a big bully forcing or trying to force these other countries to adopt the same immorality that the elites in this country, you know, want us to have. I mean, obviously there's millions and millions of Americans who are pro-life. In fact, I would bet if, you know, depending on how you ask the question, the majority of Americans, though, would certainly oppose abortion up to the moment of birth, and yet the radical left in America wants abortion that even that extreme.
No, you're absolutely right, and it's a very contentious issue, obviously, within this country and in other countries and certainly at the international level. And, you know, speaking of bullying, it kind of does cut both ways, too. I mean, the U.S., obviously, because we're so wealthy and so large, we have an outsized influence both in, you know, negotiations as well as in the assistance that we offer around the world. But also, you know, the European Union is pushing this extremely hard around the world as well. You know, the countries there are obviously smaller, but they're wealthy, and taken together as a union, you know, they have a lot of influence and can offer a lot of funding. And also, you know, the UN's agencies, which are well-funded and have outposts in countries all around the world, are also promoting abortion as well as other harmful social policies, even though there's really no mandate for them to do that, which is part of the problem.
Yeah. How does the United States stack up compared to other Western nations as far as abortion? I know it's a state-by-state issue now, especially post-Roe v. Wade being overturned.
With regard to our laws and policies? Or
well, no, in other words, I mean in terms of like abortion. For example, I've heard that other countries, even Western liberal European countries, they have stricter abortion laws than some of our states here in America. I mean, like New York City.
Yeah,
New York State,
you're absolutely
right.
There's,
totally.
There's much stronger gestational limits on the books in a lot of European countries, you know, like the 15-week ban that was floated by Senator Lindsey Graham, you know, in his bill. Would certainly, as he said, be more in line with what the standards are in a lot of European countries. Now, sort of the other flip side of that is that in a lot of those countries, that's what the standard is legally, but they have very, very permissively interpreted health exceptions. So what we would have, you know, if Graham's bill were to be made law, the it would not have those extremely large exceptions that you could probably drive a truck through.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
So there are nuances there, but... You know, and I should mention, too, you know, like going back to the bullying thing, you know, the UN, you know, its human rights mechanisms and special experts have certainly been pressuring a lot of countries around the world to liberalize their abortion laws. And they've recently turned their focus on us as well in the wake of the Dobbs decision that overturned Roe versus Wade. You know, when that case was yet to be argued, in fact, several UN human rights experts filed an amicus brief with the Supreme Court urging them not to overturn Roe versus Wade. Which is a highly unusual occurrence. And, you know, different experts have also written statements denouncing the decision after, you know, and just recently, in fact, we, the United States, have ratified the treaty on eliminating racial discrimination, and the treaty body that monitors compliance with that treaty recently did a review of the United States, which it does periodically. And in their review of our country, they basically said that, you know, the Dobbs decision and restrictions on abortion were a form of racial discrimination because
racial.
They thought that, you know, women of color would be hardest hit by this. And even though we know, you know, in this country that black women in particular have much, much higher rates of abortion than other ethnic groups. So the UN is certainly quick to criticize the United States as well.
Yeah. You know, let me just real fast. I mean, this is not news to you, but it might be news to some listeners, perhaps. But the founder of Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger, actually spoke at a KKK rally. She had something within her organization called the Negro Project, and she said, we don't want it to be, you know, the word to get out that we basically want to exterminate the Negro population. One of the things we have to do is basically hire a Negro minister. I mean, these are her words, to be a frontman for our organization, you know, basically so they could fool people. I mean, I'm paraphrasing the gist of what she said, but she wrote a letter to Dr. Clarence Gamble, who was on her board in 1939. Oh, and that was in 1939. In the meantime, jump forward to today, still about 80% of the clinics are in the bad neighborhoods, you know, so they're already catering and basically killing away, you know, a lot of black Americans through abortion.
You're absolutely right. And of course, there's a class element there, too. You know, the idea of eliminating, you know, unwanted populations, whether that's poor people or ethnic minorities, is, you know, really, it was the hallmark of the eugenics movement, which Sanger herself was a part of.
Yes.
And of course, we've seen, you know, in the global sense, too, you know, sort of the population control movement and the rhetoric about, you know, how it's those people who have big families in Africa that are the problem when it comes to things like the climate, even though they consume far less resources. And so, you know, some of these old tropes are unfortunately resurfacing, the idea that, you know, you should have small families, you know, to help the climate is one of those messages that seems to be creeping back. But also on the eugenics front, that issue hasn't entirely gone away either. You know, when it comes to children who are diagnosed in the womb with disabilities like Down syndrome, you know, there are many of the, you know, countries that are held up as being so enlightened about rights, you know, in Europe, where they've nearly eliminated Down syndrome from their populations by the selective abortion of children who have Down syndrome, which is obviously very troubling as well.
Yes. And what a contrast to, again, the idea that the Creator has endowed us with certain unalienable rights, and among these are the right to life. Rebecca Ose, thank you so much for being with us. CFAM.org for more information. That's what the dash, right? C-FAM.org?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, thank you so much for being with us. All the best.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.